The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in the synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A number of years ago, I was living in a town, and once every 4 years, there was a business in that town that would have a wild game sale. They would sell animals of any types and any descriptions, and it was amazing to see the variety of animals they had. Actually, one day was just reserved for birds, and you might have seen ostriches and emus, parakeets, canaries, parrots, ducks, geese, all sorts of exotic animals. Our exotic birds, and then the other days then were geared towards the other animals, and there were animals I think from just about every continent in the world that were there at the show. It was also interesting too to see who was there at that sale. People came for different reasons, and it was interesting to walk along the highway because there wasn't a whole lot of parking out there. And to see all the license plates of where they're from. Most of them were from Texas, but then you'd see New Mexico or Colorado or Louisiana or Missouri sometimes. And sometimes they would get as far away as Wyoming or even Montana. And so people would come. They came for different reasons. Of course, some people came to sell animals. Other people came to buy animals. Sometimes there were just ranchers or people that were looking for the larger game, for their hunting ranches, or sometimes there were people there from the zoos looking to buy some more animals. Other people came just to come see, and I guess that was probably me. I had no reason to buy. I had nothing to sell, and had no place to put anything if I did buy it. So I just came to see, just to see the sights, to what was going on. Other people came because of the excitement. This was the biggest thing going on in town during that time, and so they had to be a part of that excitement. In our gospel lesson today, we see a story where people gather. It's a continuation of the gospel that we read last week. Last week, if you remember, Jesus did his first act of ministry, public ministry, according to Mark's gospel. And that was to go into the synagogue, into worship, and he cast out a demon. So now it is Saturday afternoon, and it's still Sabbath. They go home, or they go to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's home, is where they head to. Just like after church on Sundays, many of you like to go out to eat, go find a nice meal, or maybe you all go to grandma's house and have something to eat. Well, pretty similar here then, too. They all headed to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house. But she was sick. She was not well. But Jesus took her by the hand, lifted her up, and she was made whole. Well, the Sabbath lasts from sundown on Friday evening to sundown on Saturday evening. And so when evening came then, people were able to move around once again. They were able to go out, and sure enough, they all crowded at that one house. They came to that one house to see Jesus. Now, I think there were a variety of people there, and they came for a lot of different reasons. One reason, I think, is maybe they were just Sunday drivers. I don't know if y'all ever just go for Sunday drives. When I was a child, Dad would pile us all up into the car and say, all right, we're going to go for a Sunday drive. And sure enough, we'd just go tootling around town or to see the sights, see what was changing, see what was going on. Sometimes we went out to the country, and I remember one time we went out there and we found a nesting spot of egrets. And there were thousands, maybe tens of thousands of egrets in that small area, all up in the trees. That was one of their roosting grounds. And just to hear the clatter of birds, see the feathers everywhere, and all the white birds up in the trees, looked like it had snowed, and you could also smell it too. Another time, I know sometimes we'd go into the ritzy part of town and go see the big mansions and all the manicured lawns. And I always wondered as a child, who had money to buy something like this? Who would live in a place like this? Or another time then too, I remember they were building the Southwest Freeway into Houston. And so it being Sunday, there was no construction crews out there. Dad went around the barricades and up we go through the construction area all the way to the edge of where they were building the bridge over the Brazos River. And to see that huge gorge and trying to span a bridge over that area. And so we'd just go for a Sunday drive, no place in particular, just to go see the sights and what was going on. In our story for today, I think that maybe some of the people who were there were just Sunday drivers. Just out for a stroll after the Sabbath and get to stretch your legs a little bit, but they see all the things everybody's kind of gathered over in this one part of town, so they're curious. They want to see what's going on. I think in a lot of people are Sunday drivers today as far as church is concerned. It's getting more and more where kids are not raised in Christian families. And many of those kids have grown up, and they don't have an idea what church really is. You know, you hear bits and pieces. Maybe they have friends who are Christians, or they see a lot of the negative press coverage that the church gets from time to time, and they just really don't know what church is. And so they're maybe just kind of curious, maybe asking a few questions of, what is church? Why do you believe? And as faithful members, are we prepared to answer those questions when they ask? What do we tell people who are Sunday drivers with respect to church that are just curious or just kind of want to see what it is? Are you prepared to tell your story of what church means to you, of what faith means to you, of what Jesus Christ has done in your life, of how God guides your life from day to day and what God provides for you? To be able to tell your own story then to folks who may be Sunday drivers, just kind of curious. Like I said, there's a lot of people who have no clue what the church is about, but they're kind of wondering, what is the fascination with all the people that brings them here each and every week to church and dedicate so much of their lives to the work and the service of God? Another group of people who were there in our story today, I would suspect, would be what you might call the thrill seekers. Everybody likes a good thrill every once in a while, or most people like a good thrill. I think that's why we go to amusement parks, or maybe to a show, or maybe to a concert of some sort. Or I know people like horror movies just to be scared. We like a thrill every once in a while, something to lift us up out of the everyday monotonous doldrums that happen. Just to change. Some people like to go away for vacation. Some people really like to travel, maybe here in Texas or the United States or maybe even across the world to see something different. I think there were thrill seekers there that were there at the house, Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house, on that day that Jesus was healing. They heard the commotion. They heard that something was going on, that the whole town was gathered there, and so they had to go see. They had to be a part of that. They had to get that emotional rush of actually seeing demons being cast out, or somebody who had been ill and had not been able to be cured. All of a sudden, they were healed and made better. And I'm sure that when each of these healings took place, people were in awe. Maybe they were shouting praises to God. And I'm sure the emotions were high. Emotions of giving thanks or of giving praise or just awe, or maybe there were emotions of even being scared of what kind of power is this that's coming out of Jesus. I think maybe there were thrill seekers there in this crowd. There's also people who are thrill seekers now in relation to the church. They want excitement. They want that emotional high, that pick-me-up, that lift-up. I know a lot of churches do cater to this kind of thing, and they try to put out a very good production for a worship service, maybe with praise bands, maybe with excellent singers, with a preacher that gets riled up really well. They want that excitement in worship, that thrill in worship. We don't necessarily do things that way, though. What we're more into is experiencing the fullness, the joy, and finding a thrill in that, of knowing what God has done for us, knowing that God can lift us up, that God can heal us and does heal us. He makes us well. He makes us whole. He fills us with depth to be able to follow God in whatever circumstance that we find ourselves in. And in a sense, there is a thrill in that. There is a fulfillment in that. Some of the others who were there, I think, maybe at that house, were maybe skeptical people. We know what it's like to be skeptical, especially after this past year of politics, of racial relations, of fake news, of hearing conflicting reports, of fighting coronavirus, of whether or not it's how serious it is or if it's not serious at all. We hear news coming, bouncing stories, everything else bouncing each and every way, and we don't know what to believe. And so I think there's probably, if you got a little skepticism, that may be healthy in trying to decide what is true and what is not true. There were people there in that house, in that crowd, in Jesus' day, that maybe also came because they were skeptical. They heard the commotion out in the street or around the house. They had to go check it out. People were telling them that Jesus was healing people, he was curing diseases, and he was casting out demons. What? Who can do that? I've never seen it happen before. I don't believe it can be true. How can somebody cast out a demon? I don't even believe in demons. How can somebody cast one out if I don't believe in them? They too had to come and see what was going on. They had to see for themselves. There's a number of stories in the Bible where people are skeptical. We read one just a few weeks ago when Jesus calls Andrew to be his disciple. Andrew goes to his friend Nathanael and says, "Come and see." Nathanael says, "What good ever came out of Nazareth?" And Andrew says, "Come and see." Or the story of Thomas on that day of resurrection in the evening. When the disciples said, "We've seen the Lord," and Thomas says, "I won't believe that he is risen from the dead until I touch the wounds of Jesus Christ or see him." People were skeptical. People today are skeptical of the church. How can that be true? Isn't that just a bunch of fairy tales? Isn't it just an ancient way of from the past people of explaining things that can be explained much better with science? How can you believe in something that you cannot prove? We can't prove that God exists, but yet we still know that God does exist because that Holy Spirit has brought faith into our lives. But people are skeptical. Maybe they've been hurt by other people. Maybe they've been hurt by Christians from time to time. We don't always agree with each other. We look at things differently. We come from different backgrounds, from different experiences. Maybe some people got hurt. And so they are skeptical. Church talks about love and mercy and all these things. But maybe they didn't quite have that experience. And so they are skeptical to come back. Maybe they're skeptical of the whole idea of a God. We too as a church, though, need to deal with that. To be able to, how do you handle that? Do you argue with them? I don't think that's very effective. You just simply become welcoming. You invite them in and you simply say to them, come and see. Come and be a part. Come and be involved. Come as God is calling you to come. And then too, there were people at Simon's mother-in-law's house who came because they were sick. They came because they needed healing. They came because they had demons chasing around in their lives. They came to see Jesus to be healed. Many people are hurting today, not only with disease or the coronavirus, but other diseases as well then too. And it's not always physical. Sometimes it's mental. Sometimes it's emotional. But many times it is spiritual. We need healing. We started our worship service asking God for healing. We said, we are in bondage to sin and we cannot free ourselves. We are sick. We cannot free ourselves. We cannot make ourselves better. We need help. We need that help from Christ. And so we too come to worship in need of healing, in need of a Savior, in need of being made whole and well and righteous once again. It's interesting in the story, Jesus didn't turn anybody away from that door. Anybody who came was welcome to be there. And Jesus cured the sick and he cast out the demons of all those who had asked. The whole town had come. They had come to see, to hear, to experience, and to be made well. We too come into worship for all of these things too, to see and to be rejuvenated and to have some answers to our questions, and then too, simply to be healed and to be made well. Christ is our Savior, and he calls us home. Amen.